Bakasura again came to swallow Krishna. But this time, Krishna with his legs, with his foot, he pressed the lower beak of the bird, and with his hand he grabbed the upper one. And just he gave a tug. And the Bakasura's body was split into two. So this is how Krishna killed Bakasura. Then, one day they were walking towards the pasturing ground, and on the way they saw a very unusual sight that looked like a huge cave. It was a huge, and the boys got excited. Hey Krishna, we never seen this new cage, a cave. And said that we've been through this path many times. We came to this part of the forest, but we have never seen that. And saying that, they thought that it was a cave, mountain cave, a huge mountain cave, so they wanted to explore inside the cave. So the cowherd boys went inside. And the calves followed. And Krishna then realized, this is not a cave, my dear boys, my dear friends. This is Agasura demon. He assumed this gigantic form, and it is his mouth. His upper part of his, he was standing there with his mouth wide open. And his upper jaw was touching the sky and his lower jaw was flat on the ground. And the Agasura was waiting for Krishna to enter into the mouth. And then he would swallow Krishna and the boys. The boys were already inside his mouth along with the calves. So Krishna started to wonder, now what to do? How am I going to rescue my friends? So then Krishna thought of one plan. Krishna walked into Agasura's mouth. And as soon as Krishna entered into Agasura's mouth, Agasura closed his mouth. He thought, now I am going to swallow these boys, eat them up. But he didn't know who he was dealing with. And that's the problem with the demons. And that's the problem of not recognizing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you think that Krishna is an ordinary person, you are up for some big trouble, as Agasura did. Inside his mouth, Krishna expanded himself into such a gigantic form. Although Agasura was gigantic, but Krishna's form became so big that he got stuck on Agasura's neck. Agasura couldn't swallow. Krishna got stuck on his neck. And then there, Krishna started to radiate tremendous heat. So as it is, Krishna is stuck in Agasura's neck, and now he is radiating this heat. And Agasura tried to take Krishna out of his mouth. He wanted to let Krishna out. But Krishna got stuck there. He couldn't take Krishna out of his mouth. So he started to writhe in pain. His body was flapping. And in pain he was... And he didn't... It was so unbearable. He felt that, let me leave my body. Let me die. But his soul couldn't leave his body. Because all the holes through which the soul could leave got stuck. Because Krishna being stuck on his neck, his nose was stuck. The ENT specialist will know that. And his ears got stuck. So, The only way that Krishna, he could let his body out, his soul out, was his Brahmarandhra. There is a hole also on top of the brain, top of the brain center, on the head. That is called Brahmarandhra. And the yogis actually leave their bodies through that. And by leaving the body, they achieve their spiritual perfection. They get Sajujya Mukti living from there. So, Agasura's soul left his body from the top of his head. A kind of perfection that the yogis, after thousands of years, maybe even millions of years of yoga practice, they achieve that perfection. Whereas Agasura, although being a demon, he achieved the perfection that the Siddha yogis achieved after long, long times of yoga siddhi. And not only he left his body, his soul kept on hovering in the space, waiting for Krishna to come out of his mouth. Then Krishna revived all his friends and the calves, and he came out of Agasura's mouth. As soon as Krishna came out, Agasura's soul entered into Krishna's body. Brahma was watching, and he got surprised. Like, who is this boy? That this Agasura, the demigods, tremble in fear just by hearing his name. Agha! And the demigods start to shake. And this boy, 5-year-old boy, killed this Agasura at ease, with absolute ease. And not only that, Agasura's soul merged into his body. So who is this boy? He suspected that this boy is Narayan. Who can display this kind of power? So it must be Narayan. So Brahma started to watch this boy to make sure that his Lord has come as this little boy. Narayan has come as this little boy. So Brahma wanted to confirm. So sitting on his swan, Brahma was watching what these boys are doing, what this boy is doing. And they came out of Agasura's mouth, all the boys, happy. Although they were dead, actually. But by his glance, Krishna revived them in the belly of Agasura. And they came out with the calves, and they started to graze. They started to walk and came on the bank of Jamuna, and they let the calves graze in the field. And they all sat down with Krishna in the center, and they opened their bag of their breakfast, and they started to have a picnic. And when they were having the picnic, they were eating something, and when they found that the taste was really good, they wanted to offer it to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, see, my mother made this laddu. It's so sweet, it's so delicious. And Krishna said, okay, let me see. And the boy gave it, and Krishna ate it up. And another boy said, Krishna, this samosa my mother made is so delicious. Eat it, take it, please. Krishna ate it. And some boys saw something looked very delicious on Krishna's plate. So he said, Krishna, look at this bird, look at this bird there. And when Krishna looked there, he quietly took that from out of Krishna's plate. So they were just having their picnic in this way. Brahma this time got completely bewildered. He was suspecting that this is Narayan, but this behavior is not befitting Narayan. Narayan will not take anyone's remnants, and neither anyone will ever dare to offer Narayan his jutha, his remnants. So who this boy is? So Brahma wanted to check it out. So the calves that were grazing, Brahma just stole them. And he kept them in a cave. Now all of a sudden all the boys saw the calves are nowhere to be seen. So they started to wonder, what happened to the calves? What happened to the calves? Then Krishna said, don't worry, you all carry on with your breakfast and I'll go and check. They may have gone inside the forest, so I'll bring them back. So Krishna went in search of the calves and he couldn't find them. Even inside the forest, there was no calf to be seen. Krishna called them by playing his flute. Generally when Krishna plays his flute, all the calves running, come running to him. But they didn't come. So Krishna became very surprised. What happened? So Krishna came back to the same spot where they were having their picnic, and now he sees that even the cowherd boys are gone. They're missing. And their half-eaten plates are there, lying scattered there on the bank of Jamuna, but no trace of these boys. So Krishna then sat down and started to figure out what happened, and he could figure out what happened. It was Brahma who stole the first the calves and then the cowherd boys. So Krishna said, okay Brahma, you are checking me out, yeah? Okay, watch the fun. So Krishna immediately expanded himself into all the boys and all the calves. And started to act as if nothing happened. They went back home. The parents were happy to have their children back. But this time they felt something unusual. They felt a kind of love that they never felt for their children. Like this is how we can see that their love was, love for Krishna was more than for their own children, which is unusual for parents. But now that Krishna himself has become their sons, they started to feel the same kind of love for them as they used to feel for Krishna. Anyway, but they did not worry about it. They just carried on with their life. And same thing with the cows also. The cows started to display some unusual attraction for their calves now. And it went this way, things went on. It went on for 1 year. One day Balaram saw something that made him wonder that something is unusual. And that was, you see, the cows generally become attached to their newborn calves. And when the calves are born, then the grown-up calves do not get so much attention. Now the cows don't feel that kind of attention. Their attention shifts now to the newborn calves. But Balaram one day saw that the cows that were grazing in Govardhan, when they saw that the calves, grown-up calves, at the foothills of the mountain, they just ran to meet them. They jumped out of the boulders, they crossed the boulders and down the cliff. They ran to meet these calves. So Balaram thought, that's unusual. These calves are already grown up. The new calves have been born already. So why these cows are so attracted to these calves, grown-up calves? Then he started to suspect, maybe these calves are Krishna. Oh, incidentally, that day Balaram didn't go with the cowherd boys. When this Aghasura demon was killed and when Brahma stole the cows. Because that day was his birthday. So Mother Rohini said, Balaram, today you stay at home. And Balaram stayed at home. So Balaram suspected that these calves are actually expansions of Krishna. And in the meantime, Brahma, putting the calves and the cowherd boys in the cave, when he turned around, he saw the same scene. Because exactly 1 year went by. That day also was Balaram's birthday. Balaram was not there. They were having their feast, picnic. Same scene. Krishna is sitting there. Brahma was surprised. I stole all these calves and the cows, the cowherd boys, and now they're there. So Brahma looked at the cave, which he covered the mouth of the cave with a big boulder. He removed the boulder, looked inside. The calves are asleep, so are the cowherd boys. And he again looked back, and this time he saw that all the cowherd boys and all the calves are Narayan. Brahma was completely bewildered. And he knew about one Narayan, and now he is seeing so many Narayans. All the cowherd boys are Narayan with their forearm forms, and all the calves that are grazing in the field, they are also Narayan. So then Brahma realized that who Krishna is. Krishna is not just Narayan. Krishna is the source of Narayan. Unlimited Narayans are coming out of Krishna. So Brahma became very, very worried. Now he has offended his master. So he came and begged forgiveness. Krishna said, okay Brahma, it's all right. Don't worry about it. So this is how Brahma was bewitched. This chapter is known as Brahma Mohan Leela. The pastime bewildering, the pastime bewildering Lord Brahma. And Prabhupada gave beautiful purports on these pastimes of Brahma Mohan Leela. And you know how Prabhupada gave those purports of these pastimes? Prabhupada used to lie on his bed. Prabhupada was bedridden. He was so weak that he couldn't even turn to his side. We had to very carefully help. Sometimes he would want to turn because it was quite uncomfortable lying on his back all the time. And if we had to very carefully turn Srila Prabhupada. The way we would do it, would put one hand under Prabhupada's shoulder, and the other hand, with the other hand we would hold him, and very slowly we had to turn Srila Prabhupada. And if we are not careful, Prabhupada used to feel hurt. And so in that condition, when Prabhupada could not even turn to his side, Prabhupada used to translate and give the purport. One of us used to hold the microphone to Prabhupada's mouth, and Pradyumna Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor, although he was an American, but he was an expert in Sanskrit. And he used to recite, he used to read the Sanskrit verse. Prabhupada used to give the translations and then Prabhupada used to give the purport. Just see, I mean, how committed Prabhupada was. You know, this is a sign of a pure devotee. Even when he was using his last drop of his energy in serving Krishna in this way. So this 13th and 14th chapter of the 10th canto, the Brahma Mohan Leela, so you can read the purports. They're most beautiful descriptions of these pastimes of Krishna. So now Krishna has grown up a little more, and Krishna is tending the cows, and the cowherd boys go with him. So one day they were feeling very hungry. They had their breakfast long time ago, and they're grazing, they're tending the cows in the field, and so they're feeling very hungry. And they said, Krishna, you're feeling so hungry. Then Krishna said, so tell me, what should we do? Then one boy said, there is a tal forest nearby, and that forest is full of tal fruits. Have you seen tal fruits? How many of you have seen tal fruits? How many of you haven't seen tal fruit? Okay. How many of you want to see a tal fruit? Tal fruit is a big fruit, about this big. And its color is deep purple. Very beautiful. And inside it has the pulp. It's a orangish yellow pulp, and it's very sweet, and it has a beautiful fragrance. Its fragrance, you can smell it from a distance, very beautiful fragrance. And generally in India, what they do is they make bada out of tal fruit. They take the juice and mix it with sugar and condensed milk and maybe a little bit of starch, and then they put it in, they fry it in ghee, and then they put it in sugar syrup. And when we were young, we are very fond of it. So but here, these cowherd boys were about to take, ready to take this tal fruit just without bada. Just and the fragrance was so fascinating and attractive. So one boy said, there's a tal forest, and in the forest there are so many fruits. So another boy said, no, don't go there. This Dhenuka Asura lives there with his family and friends. Whoever goes there, he eats them up. And whoever is ready to pay for the Sunday feast. Whose phone rang? Yours? Okay. So ask Ganga Narayan how much the next Sunday feast is going to cost. So, if anybody wants to sponsor the next Sunday feast, can keep his mobile phone on. So, then other friends said, we are not afraid of any Dhenukasura or Bhenukasura. Krishna and Balaram is with us. We are not afraid of anybody. Krishna can take care of anyone. So does Balaram. And Krishna nodded his head, yes. Why fear when I am here? So So they said, oh, let's go to the Tal forest. And they all ran, and ahead of them was Balaram. So Balaram just went inside the forest, grabbed one tal tree and started to shake. And the tree was full of tal fruits, ripe tal fruits, and they, all the fruits started to fall, making a very big noise, thudding noise. Dhenukasura was sleeping peacefully. He woke up with the sound. He was very accustomed to the peaceful tal forest, because no one dared to go there. Even the birds wouldn't go there out of fear of Dhenukasura. Now this is something unusual. Who is causing the disturbance? So he again heard the sound of the tal fruit falling. So he came out, hearing the noise of the falling tal fruit and laughter of the cowherd boys and clapping of their hands, and he saw what was happening. Balaram, that white boy, was shaking the fruit, and the fruits are falling, and all the boys are picking up the fruits and eating them. So became very, very angry. This Dhenukasura charged towards Balaram. And you know how the donkeys hit you? The donkey's way of hitting is they kick with the left, with the hind legs. So Dhenukasura came charging, then swiftly turned around and kicked Balaram on the chest. And then again it ran back and came again and kicked Balaram in the chest. Balaram just stood there as if nothing happened. And Dhenukasura became more angry, seeing that this person was not affected by his kicks. So he came again to kick him. But this time, as he turned around, Balaram grabbed his leg, hind legs. That also with his left hand. And then he kept on swinging him over his head. Just by swinging, his life air left his body. He let it go, and the huge body of this demon fell on a tal tree. And the tal forest was so dense that just that one tree fell, the other trees also started to fall. Just like a pack of cards, it just fell. So then Dhenuka's friends and relatives came out. They all were very angry that these boys have killed Dhenukasura, their dearmost object of love. And so they just charged towards them. And Balaram and Krishna started to catch those demons by their hind legs and started to send them to the same destiny, which is the abode of Jamaraj. So in this way, Krishna killed Dhenukasura and his allies and let his friends have this tal fruit. Then one day Krishna came to the bank of Jamuna, and he found that the cows that drank the water from Jamuna, they are dead. And all the cowherd boys were crying, seeing that the cows are all dead. Actually, there was a serpent called Kaliya. It was staying in a lake inside Jamuna. Inside Jamuna, there was a lake called Kaliya Daha. Daha means a lake. And Kaliya was staying there with his family. And his poison was so powerful that the water of Jamuna became poisoned, turned into poison. And this poison was so powerful that just the vapor of the poison that would rise from the water of Jamuna, that if any bird was flying above the river, just by inhaling those vapors, they would die. So Krishna knew that this was terrible demon called Kaliya. So Krishna decided to do something. So Krishna tightened his belt and climbed up onto the tree and jumped into the river. And Krishna started to swim. Kaliya became quite disturbed that somebody is swimming in his lake. So he came, and seeing Krishna, he started to bite Krishna. And then he put Krishna inside his coil, coiled around Krishna's body. And seeing Krishna in that condition, the cowherd boys felt as if thought that Krishna now died, being bitten by this snake, and now he is in the coil of that terrible snake. So they all fainted. And all the cows started to cry in pain, seeing this sight, that Krishna is in the coil of this serpent, dead. At that time, there's some inauspicious signs started to display in Vrindavan. So Nanda Maharaj and other residents of Vrindavan became very alarmed. Why these inauspicious signs here? So did something happen? And today also Balaram didn't go with Krishna. So they were very worried. And so they decided to find out whether something happened to Krishna. So they all came out in search to find out whether Krishna was safe. And following Krishna's footsteps, they could make out from Krishna's footsteps, where Krishna's footsteps were, they came to the bank of Jamuna. And there they saw that Krishna was unconscious within the coil of the serpent. Seeing that sight, the ladies started to cry. Some even fainted. And some of the men, they wanted to jump into the river to rescue Krishna. But Balaram prevented them. Balaram, he knew, he told them, no, nothing, nobody can do anything to Krishna, don't worry. So at that time, Krishna started to expand his body. Now, can you imagine what happened to Kaliya? Kaliya's body was wrapped around Krishna's body, and now Krishna started to expand his body. Kaliya's body started to tear with his joints splitting. In pain, Kaliya started to cry and angry. Now he led the boy out of his coil and he wanted to bite the boy. And Krishna just swam in such a way that Kali was chasing behind him and trying to bite him, but Krishna was always out of his reach. So this way Krishna played with Kaliya for a while. Then Krishna jumped onto Kaliya's head. Kaliya had many, many heads, hundreds of heads. And the heads, the moment it tried to rise up, Krishna just put his foot. It was not a foot for Kaliya, it was a thunderbolt coming onto his head. So he would raise his head, bang, like. And what Krishna was doing, he was kicking Kaliya's head, but Krishna, the most expert dancer, he was actually dancing. He was dancing and it was smashing Kaliya's heads with his steps. Each step was like a thunderbolt falling on Kaliya's head. The demigods were watching, and with Krishna's dance, they started to sing and play music, keeping the beat. And yes. So demigods were singing in heaven, Krishna is dancing on Kaliya's head. So seeing that, everybody became very, very enlivened. And Kaliya was bleeding from his mouth. Each step would fall, and a huge amount of blood would just come out of Kaliya's mouth. And in this way, Kaliya was subdued by Krishna. He was dying. Like, the poor guy couldn't keep his head up anymore. Then Kaliya's wives came out. They were very chaste, and they were very, very pious. And they started to offer their prayers to Krishna. That please spare our husband. We know that he is a wicked one. But what to do? This is our nature. We are serpents. As serpents, we are in the mode of ignorance, and we are envious, and we are venomous. That's our nature. So you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please forgive us for all the mistakes that we make due to our nature. Please spare this crooked serpent, and please bring some sanity in his mind. In this way they were praying. Then Krishna said, okay, but you leave this Jamuna. Go to the Ramanak island, where your actual residence is. You go to Ramanak island. And so then Kaliya, with his family, left for Ramanak island. Before leaving, they decorated Krishna with most precious jewels that adorned their heads. And you see this, I mean, sometimes people think, how can there be jewels on a snake's head? But yes, it happens. Just as pearl grows in the shell, similarly, snakes also develop these gems on their heads. Because of the poison, it turns into this kind of gems. Not ordinary snakes, some special snakes have that ability. Sometimes some elephants also develop a jewel on their head. That's called Gajamoti, very rare pearl that grows on the head of an elephant. So, Kaliya has been subdued. Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami, why did Kaliya leave Ramanak Island? As you said that he left Ramanak Island, why did he leave? So Sukadeva Goswami then told him that Garuda, whose food is snake. Anyway, I was just about to go into another side story. But I thought I'll just stick to Krishna's stories from Bhagavatam. So, anyway, the simple point is, snakes are Garuda's food. So Garuda used to come to this Ramanak island where the snakes resided, and he used to eat the snakes. So seeing that, the snakes made a pact with Garuda that every month one family would offer a snake for you to eat along with other foodstuffs. So Garuda was happy, okay, fine. And the snakes also became peaceful that, okay, now they are at least some sort of understanding. And Garuda is not going to attack indiscriminately eating the snakes. So, but this Kaliya became so arrogant, the offers that were meant for Garuda, he started to eat those offerings. So Garuda, becoming very angry, he came and came to attack Kaliya. But Kaliya charged and he tried to attack Garuda. But Garuda, with his wing, hit the snake so hard that it went flying. Then Garuda was about to get him and kill him. But the snake begged forgiveness. So then The snake actually knew that there was a place where Garuda cannot go. That is the this area in Jamuna. So Parikshit Maharaj asked, so he came and took shelter of that place. That is what we know as Kaliya Daha. So Parikshit Maharaj asked, why Garuda couldn't go there? So he said that there was a sage called Saubhari Muni who was meditating there underwater. And as a result of that, he actually developed some relationship with the fish there in the river. And one day, the king of the fish was eaten up by Garuda. And his wives were crying. So seeing their lamentable situation, Saubhari Muni became very compassionate. And he cursed Garuda, that if you ever come to this spot, you're going to die. So because of that curse of Saubhari Muni, Garuda did not go to Kaliya Rad. And Kaliya came and took shelter of that place, knowing that Garuda won't be able to come. And so, in this way, Krishna was performing his pastimes, and this way Krishna subdued and killed many demons. The other demons that Krishna killed after that were Adishtasura. Krishna killed Keshi. I'll come to Keshi afterwards. But in the meantime, let us consider one very beautiful pastimes of Govardhan Lila. Krishna not only killed the demons, Krishna subdued whoever went against him, whoever became proud and did not accept his authority. Krishna subdued them, Krishna chastised them. And Krishna in this way wanted to teach us that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How many of you accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Thank you very much. But does everybody accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even the pious people, some think that Brahma is the Supreme. Right? So those who think that Brahma is the Supreme, Krishna pointed out, no, I am superior to Brahma. If somebody thinks that Lord Shiva is the Supreme, Krishna, through his pastimes, pointed out that no, Lord Shiva is also my servant or subordinate. Somebody may think that the demigods are the supreme, so in order to teach them a lesson that demigods, even Indra, is nothing compared to him, Krishna made this arrangement. So the cowherd community generally performed Indra Puja, worshipping Indra. And so Nanda Maharaj and other cowherd people were just arranging this worship of Indra in Vrindavan. So seeing that everyone is so busy, Krishna at that time was only 7 years old. Seeing that all these people were just so busy, Krishna asked his father, "Father, what are you doing today? Why you all are so busy?" Nanda Maharaj knew that if she gave Krishna a chance, then Krishna will start asking 24 questions against just one. So Nanda Maharaj just told Krishna, "Krishna, today I'm very busy. Please let me make this arrangement that we are making." So Krishna says, "Please tell me at least why you are so busy today." So Nanda Maharaj said, "Krishna, today we are arranging for the worship of Indra." Krishna said, "Why do you worship Indra?" Nanda Maharaj said, "Yes, now he started." Okay. "We worship Indra because Indra gives us rain. And we are the cowherd community. We need to grow grains and grass for that purpose." Does it rain because of Indra's favor? So Krishna asked. Nanda Maharaj said, "Yes, Indra is the Lord of rain. So when he is pleased, he gives us rain." "Father, does it rain because you worship Indra?" "Yes, my son." "Father, does anybody worship Indra in the middle of the ocean? And do the ocean needs water? Then how does it rain in the middle of the ocean? Although no one worships..." So Nanda Maharaj stuck now. Said, "Krishna, we worship because it's a tradition. It's a custom." "Oh, is it a Vedic custom or a local custom?" Nanda Maharaj thought for a while. He said, "No, it's a Vedic custom. It's a colloquial custom. Our traditionally we are doing it. Our forefathers have been doing it, and that's why we are doing it." "Father, actually we should be indebted to Govardhan. We are cowherd. You said that we are cowherd community and that's why we need rain. But actually Govardhan is providing us with everything that we need." And Krishna started to explain how Govardhan is actually supplying everything. "We are cowherd community and this is Govardhan." So the cow community is growing because of Govardhan. So why don't we worship Govardhan? Nanda Maharaj, whatever Krishna said, accepted. Although Krishna is just a little boy, but out of his affection, or even out of this boy's wisdom, Nanda Maharaj always just did whatever Krishna said. "Oh, you want us to worship Govardhan, Lala?" "Yes, Daddy, let's do that. All that arrangements you made, so with all this arrangement, let us worship Govardhan." So Nanda Maharaj gave the order, "Take everything for Govardhan Puja." And so they went and made a pile of mountain of food called Annakoot to be offered to Govardhan. And then when the offering was made, everybody saw that Govardhan looks like Krishna. His high mountain, his head is touching the sky, and that is the form of Krishna. He is sitting there with his head touching the sky, and he is taking the foodstuff and eating it. With his big hands, he is taking a handful and putting in his mouth. And with his left hand, he is mocking at Indra. Indra, look, I am taking your offerings. In the meantime, Indra is all decked up to get ready to take the worship. And no worship, nothing is coming. So Indra was wondering, what happened today? And he looked down and he saw what was happening. All his, the arrangement for his worship is now being offered to Govardhan. So Indra felt that this cowherd people need to be taught a lesson. Disregarding me, they are listening to this little child, no intelligence whatsoever. So he called Sambartaka cloud, the cloud of devastation, and said, go and inundate the flood Vrindavan. Kill everybody there. That is the way I'm going to teach them a lesson. So Sambartaka cloud went. Indra said, told the thunder, the storm, the hail storm, wind to go accompany. And all of a sudden, of this residence of Vrindavan, they worshipped Govardhan, circumambulated. After taking Govardhan's prasad, they were circumambulating Vrindavan, they completed circumambulation, and they, all of a sudden they saw that this cloud coming from the northeast side. A dark, dense cloud is forming, rushing with a tremendous speed. So they became worried. They could suspect that Indra is going to take revenge. Indra is unhappy. So he is going to chastise them. So they all ran to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, please save us. It is due to your instruction that we have disregarded Indra and worshipped Govardhan. So now you please do something about it. So then Krishna said, don't worry. And what did Krishna do? Krishna just lifted the Govardhan hill. And he held the Govardhan hill on his little finger. And the cavity that was made due to the lifting of Govardhan, Krishna asked everyone to go under the hill into that cavity. When they came there, they actually found there's a beautiful staircase leading, huge, large staircase leading to the bottom of the cave. And for the animals, they can't go through the cavity, through the steps. For them, there's a ramp. And so they quickly went down to the Govardhan. And there they found, it's a beautiful hall with all kinds of delicious food arranged there. And there was these gems are lighting up the place. The place has pillars made of onyx and marble. The floor was made of beautiful marble. The sides of the wall were studded with beautiful gems. And so they just took shelter of Govardhan, under Govardhan, which was held by Krishna. Then in the meantime, the Sambartaka cloud came and started to flood Vrindavan. The whole of Vrindavan was flooded. But nothing happened to the residents of Vrindavan because Krishna was holding Giri Govardhan as an umbrella. The water did not affect them at all. Indra sent Vajra, lightning, Vidyut. Go and find out what is happening in Vrindavan. So lightning came as a flash and went back. And said, Vrindavan is finished. Not a single soul is to be seen there. Indra was very pleased. Jeete raho beta. But then wind came. And he said, no, nothing happened to these residents of Vrindavan. Govardhan, after this hill, this mountain, after eating the foodstuffs that were meant for you, became so powerful, so strong, that now it's flying in the sky. It's up in the sky, and all the residents of Vrindavan has taken shelter of under Govardhan hill. So Indra considered, there used to be a mountain called Mainak. And that mountain used to fly. It has its wings. But I cut the wings with thunder. And since then Mainak is stuck in one place. Now is it that the Mainak grew its wings again? So he said, thunder, go. Smash this hill. So thunder went and incessantly started to strike Govardhan hill. But because Krishna was holding it, nothing happened to Govardhan. So then Indra was worried. Who is this 7-year-old boy who is holding Govardhan for 7 days like that on his little finger? So Indra, being very afraid that he may have offended some very great personality, asked his guru, Brihaspati, Gurudev, this is what happened. So Brihaspati told Indra, Indra, you made a big mistake. The one that you thought to be just a 7-year-old boy, village boy, is actually the Lord himself. So hearing that, Indra just started to shake with fear, like a leaf in a storm, and started to appeal to Brihaspati, Gurudev, what shall I do now? Then Brihaspati said, look, yes, Krishna is angry with you. Because what you tried to do was so terrible an offense. Krishna's residence and the cows are his dearmost object. And you wanted to kill them. You wanted to eliminate Vrindavan. So he is very angry with you. But Suravi is very dear to Krishna. If Suravi goes, then probably in Krishna's anger will subside. And then you come out and beg forgiveness. Don't just go straight to Krishna. So then Indra went to Suravi and pleaded, can you please come with me to Braj, where Krishna is? So hearing about this opportunity that she can meet Krishna, she became very happy. Yes, yes, Indra, sure, I'll go. So then Suravi came to Krishna, and Indra holding on to Surabhi's tail, hiding behind Surabhi, approached Indra. Seeing Surabhi, Krishna became pacified. And then Indra came out and begged his forgiveness. And Krishna forgave him. And Surabhi then bathed Krishna with her milk. He did the abhishek. Now through Govardhan Leela, Krishna performed many, many activities, many purposes. Through Govardhan Leela, Krishna showed his supremacy over Indra. Indra is an insignificant ant compared to Krishna. From our calculation, Indra may be a very great personality, but compared to Krishna, he is absolutely insignificant. But Indra is so proud of his position. And whenever Krishna sees that there is some undesirable pride, Krishna smashes that person. That's what he did to Indra. Okay. Kamsa's, all his associates are killed one after another. So finally, Kamsa was in great anxiety. He was in great anxiety. Like there was rings around his eyes, his hair is disheveled, his mouth is emaciated, and he is sitting there complete and in complete anxiety. So one day his friend came, Keshi, big demon. So Keshi said, Kamsa, why are you worried like this? Why are you looking like this? And Kamsa said, look, all my big associates, big demons who are so powerful that the demigods are afraid of them. And all of them are being killed one after another by this Krishna. So who is Krishna? He's just a 8-9 year old boy, the son of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. It's a cowherd community. Didn't learn the art of fighting and all, but seems to be so powerful. So Keshi said, okay, don't worry, Kamsa, I'm your friend. A friend in need is a friend indeed. So I will go and kill this Krishna. Kamsa said, you know, Keshi, all these demons have gone and failed. They all have been killed. Putana went, Sakatasura went, Trinavarta went, Bakasura, Batsasura, Aghasura, Arishtasura, they all have been killed, one after another. So be careful. Kamsa, Keshi is Keshi. He is the biggest, he is the greatest. So don't worry. I will take care of this boy and I'll let you sleep in peace. I can see that you can't sleep at night and you can't digest your food. You don't even have any appetite to eat. I'm really sorry to see you in this condition. So very proudly, Keshi goes, assuming the form of a gigantic horse with its galloping towards Vrindavan. And as its feet were striking the ground, the earth was trembling, so powerful. Earth was shaking. Seeing this terrible demon coming, All the cowherd boys became very worried, very afraid. They ran to Krishna. Krishna, see, a big demon is coming to kill us. Krishna says, don't worry, stand behind me. And Krishna tightened his belt. He took the chadar and tied it around his waist, rolled up his sleeves, tied his hair, and he stood there. Then Keshi came and hit Krishna on the chest. That kick is so powerful that even the demigods would leave their bodies. But after all, who is Krishna? So Krishna stood there, nothing happened. Actually, it has been described that kick of Keshi to Krishna seemed like the way an elephant feels when some lotus petal is thrown at him. So then Keshi came again and hit him. Krishna just stood there as if nothing happened. But this time Keshi came opening his mouth to swallow Krishna. Krishna just extended his left hand. And his left hand entered into Keshi's mouth just as a serpent enters into its hole. But there, Krishna's left hand entered into Keshi's mouth, and there his hand expanded and expanded and expanded. And then it started to generate the terrible heat. Now Keshi is dead. There is another description that says that Krishna actually held Keshi by his hind legs and he started to swing Keshi over his head, and then he let it go. And Keshi's body came and landed in front of Kamsa in Mathura. Kamsa couldn't figure out what happened, because by that time Keshi's body assumed the form of a lump of flesh and bones. But Kamsa, after thorough scrutiny, he made out that after all it was Keshi. So Kamsa started to shake in fear. Seeing Kamsa in that condition, Vasudev was there. So Kamsa noticed that there was a smile in his face. So Kamsa became very upset and he wanted to kill Vasudev. That here is my enemy. My distress becomes the source of his joy. He was going to kill Vasudev. So at that time Narad Muni appeared there. He said, Kamsa, by killing Vasudev, what will you gain? Your enemy is not Vasudev. Your enemy is actually Krishna. So rather try to kill Krishna. So just unnecessarily killing Vasudev, what will you gain? Rather Krishna will become even more angry. And then who knows what he'll do to you. So then Kamsa asked him. So at that time, he didn't kill Vasudev, but he told his guards to arrest Vasudev and put him in prison. That's why Vasudev was actually in prison when Krishna came to Mathura. So then Kamsa started to ask Narad Muni, what shall I do? I've been all my allies, powerful demons, who are the source of fear of the demigods, even they are killed by Krishna. Narad Muni said, Kamsa, you see, you made a mistake. you had been sending your friends, the demons, one at a time. When the enemy is too strong, then you should actually gather all your strength together and attack. It's a foolish strategy. What kind of warrior you are? You don't know politics. Like politics is, when the enemy is too strong, then gather all your friends, all your strength together and attack. Yes, I see Narad Muni, but how shall I gather all my strength? My other friends. If I tell that I am afraid of Krishna, then they lose their respect for me. So Narad Muni said, you see, you have this very special bow in your custody. So you make an announcement that whoever can string that bow, you will perform a dhanurjagya, a sacrifice in honor of this bow, and you invite, send the message that in the dhanurjagya, whoever can string the bow, you will give you half of your kingdom. So everybody will come, all the kings will come. So when they come, at that time you invite Krishna and Balaram. And then in this way, gathering all your strength together here, instead of sending one by one to Vrindavan, you bring Krishna Balaram here and then you attack him. So as I said yesterday, sometimes it seems, sometimes we get surprised, why Narad Muni is doing all this? He is taking side with Kamsa and speaking against Krishna and Jadus and Balaram. But the thing is, by doing that, Narad Muni is actually enhancing the drama and quickening the annihilation of Kamsa along with his allies. So then Kamsa sent, he made that arrangement, and he arranged Krishna and Balaram to come. How? He sent Akrura to go to Vrindavan and invite Krishna Balaram that a big dhanurjagga is going to be performed. You all are village people. You don't get to see these opulent festivities. Please come and take part in dhanurjagga. Watch this grand celebration. So Akrura went and brought Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. And Kamsa also invited all the cowherd people, requested them to come also, because his idea was that he would kill everyone. He would kill Krishna Balaram, he will kill Nanda Maharaj, he will kill all the residents of Vrindavan. Then he would kill Vasudev. He would kill his own father Ugrasen, his uncle Devak, who after all are against him, opposed to him. So in this way, getting rid of everyone, he will rule over the uncontested kingdom. So that was Kamsa's plan. So he invited all the cowherd people also from Vrindavan, asked them to bring the yogurt and butter and sweets and all kinds of things. So the arrangement was made in that way. But when Krishna Balaram came, they came by chariot. But when they came to Mathura, they found that the residents of Vrindavan headed by Nanda Maharaj already arrived before them. In that respect, there are two comments. One comment is that Krishna Balaram got late because Akrura took a bath in Jamuna. That delayed there. And the other thing is that Nanda Maharaj knew a shortcut to Vrindavan. So he came through that shortcut. Anyway, so they were there, and Then Krishna and Balaram, Krishna, Balaram and the cowherd boys are very excited. Big city, they are village people, they have to see this beautiful city of Mathura. They wanted to go and see. And then they came across a washerman. He was carrying the clothes of Kamsa. And they thought that we are village people, we have come to the city, we should be dressed up properly. So Krishna went to that washerman and said, "Will you please give us some of these clothes? You see, we came from the village. We are not properly dressed. But now that we have come to the city, we should dress up properly like a city people." The washerman got very angry. He said, "You impudent villagers, this dress belongs to the king, and you dare to wear the dress of the king?" And in this way, the washerman started to chastise them. And when he started to chastise in this way, then Krishna just took his hand and didn't even slap. It's described that he just touches. And the washerman's head was severed from the body, went flying. And seeing that all the other washermen dropped their bags of, or their bundles of cloth, and ran out of there. And Krishna and Balaram opened those things and selected some nice dresses for themselves, and got all the cowherd boys also dress up in a very nice, gorgeous way. And there was a weaver. So seeing him, he became so attracted by Krishna that he offered some clothes to Krishna. And being pleased with him, Krishna blessed him that after this life he'll go back to Vaikuntha. Then Krishna came across a garland maker, and the garland maker was so happy to see Krishna, and he offered his garlands, beautiful garlands, to Krishna. So Krishna blessed him also that he will be delivered and go back to Godhead. Then Krishna came across one hunchback woman. Her name was Tribakra. His body was bent in three ways: neck, chest and waist. But Krishna addressed her, "Oh, beautiful one." So she thought that Krishna was joking with her. So she also started to tell Krishna, "My dear handsome one, I don't know how can I live without you." So in this way they had some exchanges. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur actually commented that this Tribakra is actually an expansion of Satyabhama, Krishna's queen. This Satyabhama is actually Bhudevi, Mother Earth personified. She is the expansion of Bhushakti. Krishna has three potencies: Shri, Bhu and Nila. So this Bhu is the Mother Earth. And he described that Mother Earth looked bent, hunchback, because of the burden that was created by the demons. It is due to the burden of the demons she appeared to be like that. So what Krishna did? Krishna put his toes on top of her toes, And holding on to her chin, Krishna just gave a jerk. And her body became straight. From hunchback. So we can also see that by Krishna's divine arrangement, Mother Earth became rid of the burden caused by the demons. She assumed a very beautiful form. And she decorated Krishna with the... She used to carry the sandalwood paste for Kamsa. So with that sandalwood paste, she decorated Krishna's face. Then Krishna asked the people where the Dhanurjagga was taking place. So some people pointed out, oh, it's there. So Krishna went there. This place, this area was being guarded by Kamsa's guards. So they tried to stop Krishna. Krishna said, get lost. I have come here to see the bow that everyone is talking about. And Krishna walked straight onto the bow. And he picked it up, and in no time he strung the bow. And then as he pulled the bow, it broke, just as Lord Ramchandra broke the bow of Lord Shiva. And the sound that was created by this breaking of the bow, it looked like the whole earth is cracking. Kamsa heard that sound. And he immediately also got the news that this boy from Vrindavan broke the bow. Kamsa now is completely worried, shaking with fear. He sent his army to arrest these boys. All the guards were there. They attacked Krishna and Balaram. They attacked Krishna, and with the broken bows, Krishna took one half, Balaram took other half. And with this bow, they started to hit these people and wipe them out. Then the soldiers' army came, and the whole army was wiped out by Krishna and Balaram. And then they went back to the place where they were staying. This news of what happened caused Kamsa to be in great anxiety. Kamsa couldn't sleep that night. And another person could sleep that night. Who was that? Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj is worried that this Kamsa wants to kill Krishna, and now Krishna has come into his own jurisdiction. Is he going to attack at night and harm the boy? Anyway, this is how one in great anxiety and the other in great fear could not sleep. In the morning, Krishna dressed up after taking bath. He decided to go to the arena and when he went, Kamsa made the arrangement that when Krishna would come, this Kubalaya Pira, the terrible elephant, really terrible elephant, would take care of Krishna and Balaram. The first attack will be through Kubalaya Pira. Then when they come there, then the wrestlers, the Chanur and Mushtik, will confront them. So Kubalaya Pira, just the elephant Mahut, the controller of the elephant, blocked Krishna's way as he tried to enter through the gate. Blocked the gate. So Krishna asked, "Please get out of my way." And he didn't move. Then Krishna told him, I'm telling you, get out of my way, otherwise I will send you and with your elephant to the abode of Jamaraj. So being very angry, now this man, the elephant controller, they actually charge the elephant with a thing called Ankush. It's a kind of it's a goad. And with that they strike the elephant on the neck. And with that the elephant become ferocious. And so he did that. So when the elephant actually came and picked up Krishna with his trunk. But Krishna hit the elephant so hard with his hand that elephant let him loose. Then Krishna slapped the elephant. The elephant got wild. And Krishna entered under the belly of the elephant. And the elephant couldn't find where Krishna is. So he started to roll. But the elephants have an ability to detect a person by smell. So then he got hold of Krishna there. And again he caught him by his trunk. And this time again Krishna came out. And this time Krishna actually made the elephant run after him for a while, and Krishna was just ducking the elephant, and the elephant would come to trample him, and Krishna would just slip out and the elephant get hurt. And in this way Krishna played with the elephant for a while. Then Krishna caught the elephant by his trunk and just gave it a pull. The elephant fell on the ground. And Krishna jumped up onto the elephant, pulled out its trunk, huge trunk, huge tusk. He pulled out the tusk, and with the tusk Krishna started to hit the elephant. The elephant died. Then with the tusk as a trophy of Kubalaya Pira, Krishna took one tusk, Balaram took one tusk, they walked into the arena. Seeing that, Kamsa was terribly afraid and angry at the same time. So he told his wrestlers to fight and kill Krishna and Balaram. So Chanur came to confront Krishna. And Krishna told Chanur that wrestling generally takes place among the equals. Are we really equal? You are a huge giant and I'm a little boy. What kind of wrestling is going to take place? Chanur said, before Krishna responded, Chanur actually told him that our Lord Kamsa, our king, he heard that you all are very expert in wrestling. So that's why he wanted you to show your skill. And you know, serving the king is the ultimate goal of life. Because king is the embodiment of all the demigods. So when all the demigods are in the king's personality, when the king is pleased, everyone becomes pleased. So just consider that pleasing your king is the goal of your life. And when your king becomes pleased with you, then you have achieved your ultimate perfection. So our king wants you to watch a wrestling bout between you and us. So then Krishna responded, wrestling takes place among the equals. So what kind of match is going to be this? Then Chanur said, you are not just a boy, little boy. I mean, you killed Kubalaya Pira. It's not a boy's act. You broke that bow for the Dhanurjaga. That's not an act of boy. That's the bow as Harad Lord Shiva's bow. So then Chanur came and struck Krishna. And Mushtika came and challenged Balaram. So they started to fight, and eventually Krishna picked up Chanur, a big giant of a wrestler, and put him on his head, and it turned him around and around and around, and then smashed him on the ground. He is dead. Similarly, Balaram killed Mushtika. Then other wrestlers, they are all brothers, Shal, Toshal, they came out, killed all of them. Then Kamsa stood up in his gallery, and started to declare, kill these boys, and drive all these cowherd people out of here. But he couldn't finish his command. Krishna just jumped onto that platform, high platform. Kamsa was about to, he tried to pull out his sword, but Krishna hit him on the face. His turban went flying. He had long hair. Krishna caught him by his hair. From there, with Kamsa, he jumped onto the middle of the arena and just hitting him on his chest, Krishna killed Kamsa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare Bol. Today also there is no time for question answers. It's already 1 o'clock. So let's go. And so today, and tomorrow, let's see how you, anyway, so I'm actually happy that I'm able to come up to this point. I made it a target actually to finish up to killing of Kamsa. I went a little fast. So was everything understandable? Yeah? Okay. Were you absorbed in Krishna's pastimes? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you.